Welcome to Ask Pastor John, a question and answer podcast with John Piper. Even many unbelievers are at least casually aware of the story of Job, the man who could have easily been the author of Murphy's Law and whose suffering and encounter with God have been a comfort to countless people down through history. And John, I've seen a lot of confusion as people have sought to interpret this book, especially some of the conversations in the middle of it. Give us your own overview of how we should read it.
Yeah. Well, just first of all, Murphy's Law, that's if things can go wrong, they will.
Yeah.
I'm not sure everybody would have known that. I wasn't sure I had it right. Well, yeah, he would have been a good candidate to write that law. So back up, big picture of Job. I think the right way to read Job is that you have a man who was blameless in God's sight in one sense. We'll come back maybe to in what sense. He was leading a basically upright life. There's this reality called Satan. Satan challenges God that his man is not as good as he thinks he is. God gives Satan permission to attack Job. He does so first in his family, his possessions. Then he does so in his own body and sickness. And then you have this long illness of Job, and his three friends come, and they begin with quietness and with counsel, and then they begin to launch into an attack on Job that takes a true theology and distorts it all out of proportion. So you get about 29 chapters of misapplied theology. And it's very hard to navigate your way through those chapters and say what's true and what's not true, because these guys are mixing up true and falsehood all over the place. And so I think you're supposed to get the big picture that God was not happy with these three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And when Elihu shows up, Elihu, I believe, begins to set it right. Then God speaks, and he sets it completely right. And then you've got this last chapter that I think puts the closure on the whole thing, where it says that all of this God brought upon Job, and Job proved in the end to be a better man than these men, even though Job himself sinned and had to repent in dust and ashes. The lesson from the big book of Job is God is sovereign over all of our suffering. He does permit Satan to come into our lives and do horrible things to us. He means to prove our faith and purify our lives through all that. And in the end, he will make it good, either in this life or in the life to come. And Satan does not have the last word in the lives of God's people.
On that point, Job gives some very interesting snapshots of Satan. What are some of the key things that we learn about our enemy, and how should those insights help us when we're facing a deep trial?
Well, the first thing we should learn is that Satan is subordinate to God. He goes to God with a desire and must get permission, which is an awesome thing to realize, that Satan does nothing in this world except by God's permissive will. At any moment, God could stop Satan from doing what he's doing. So anytime we think we can blame Satan for something that's happening, we must also reckon with the fact that God is permitting it, which is what Job remarkably does. When Satan comes and attacks Job's possessions and ruins them all, and his family and all 10 of his kids die, we learn how terrible Satan can be. But Job says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the writer says Job didn't sin in all of this talking. And so what we learn there is Satan can kill your kid. And yet Job falls down and worships God and says, "God took my child." It's both and. It's not either or. Then Satan comes and he strikes him with a disease, boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And his wife says, "Curse God and die." And it says explicitly, "Satan did this." And Job responds to his wife and says, "Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil?" And again, the writer says, he didn't sin with his lips. And some people say, oh, that isn't right. Job was wrong. He should not have attributed to God those boils, and he should not have attributed to God the death of his children. And what I say to those people, I say, no, that's not, in fact, what should be said. Job did speak the truth, because if you go to the end, to chapter 42, where I'm going right now, and read verse 11, it says, when all is said and done, this is the last chapter, then came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before and ate bread with him in his house, and they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Now that's the inspired writer talking, not Job in one of his funks. And therefore, it's really clear that Job was right to say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, and shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil? Because the writer at the end says, they comforted him for all the calamity, all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. So even though Satan is real, and even though he can do horrible things, he has to get permission, and God is the governor of the universe. Satan does not have a parallel role to play with God. He has a subordinate role to play under God.
How important is it for us to clearly note that Job's calamities had absolutely no connection to Job's character?
I don't think that's exactly right to say.
Okay.
I think absolutely is an overstatement, because Job, when you get to the end, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. And he repents in dust and ashes. Verse 6, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. In other words, here's the way I would say it, Bob. He was called an upright man. He was called a blameless man. And yet, that doesn't mean he was a sinlessly perfect man. There was, here's the way I pictured it. I pictured Job as a beaker of water. And Job had been so worked upon by the grace of God that his life was pure. You could see right through this water. And people looked at him and they saw a pure man. But there was a sediment of reliance, self-reliance, and pride at the bottom. It wasn't huge. It wasn't damning. It was there. And when God shook him, it colored the water. And you find Job saying some terrible things about God in this book. And God knew that that was there. And therefore, he knew that in shaking this godly, blameless man, there would arise some imperfection into his life. And that would need to be purged. And so the last thing is, therefore, I despise myself. I repent in dust and ashes. God is so pleased with Job that he makes the three friends go and ask Job to pray for them instead of them praying for themselves. God loves this man, Job. And so, yes, go back to what you said. How important is it that we see he was suffering without a direct connection to an evil deed? That's true. We should be able to say to people, I am not looking for a specific sin in your life that God is punishing you for or chastising you for. God may be permitting this sin to come into your life just to refine very beautiful faith. Your faith is like gold, but it does have straw in it. And God loves you so much, he is now going to burn out a little more straw. And any suffering person I've ever talked to bears witness to the fact they have seen more of God, they know more of God, they trust God more deeply than if it hadn't come.
Ask Pastor John, a podcast of John Piper and Desiring God. Know God and enjoy Him more than ever through spending time today at our website, desiringgod.org, desiringgod.org.